Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening. God bless you. God bless you. This is Reverend Aaron Williams, DTW Ministries, and you're on Purpose Kingdom Network by way of Blog Talk Radio. And this is the 1058th episode of Purpose Kingdom. We're excited about what the Lord is putting and has put together for us tonight. I'm getting fitted for my robe. My God, hallelujah. Are you? God, we do thank you. We bless you and we praise you for your goodness, for your mercy towards us, God, how you've kept us. Hallelujah. Even at times, God, when we didn't want to be kept, you still kept us, God. You're a good God. Hallelujah. And we rejoice in you. We pray that the words of our mouths and the meditations of our heart will be acceptable in your sight, that you would get glory to yourself in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, call a friend. Tell a neighbor. 319-527-6091. Purpose Kingdom DTW Ministry is on the air. Again, 619-527-6091. When I thought about being clothed in righteousness, I wrote this down for a saying that I had read, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. But what the Lord had impressed on me, I mean, just not even too long ago, about half hour ago, as I sat here meditating on the goodness of the Lord reminded me to keep your mouth off of people. I was like, what? Keep your mouth, and I don't know who this is for, but I wrote it down because I said, God, I'm going to write it, I'm going to say it. I don't want to take it off topic, but if you're saying it, this is what I'm going to say. Keep your mouth off of people. I recognize and begin to see the justice of God in keeping my mouth off of people. Have you ever been to an extent where you said something negative about a person? You said something negative about their disposition. You said something negative about their outlook. You said something negative about them. And then hours later, days later, weeks later, you found yourself in the same predicament. Keep your mouth off of people, because if it had not been for the grace, if it had not been for the mercy, if it had not been for the Lord that was on our side, there go I, but for the grace of God. And the Lord dealt with me about being content and being complacent, the two C's in Christianity, to be content, because we're told to be content with every state that we're in, but not complacent, because content does not mean that I'm not pushing. Contentment does not mean that I'm satisfied to the point of not having desire, but complacency means that when I'm sitting down, I never want to get back up. I don't want to move. I don't want to move forward. I'm complacent. I'm sitting in a place where our pastor used to say, sitting in the seat of do nothing, whistling the tune of do less. We cannot remain complacent. And I'm already jumping way ahead of myself in our prayer life. We cannot be complacent. The Bible tells us, be anxious for nothing, but by everything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let our requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. That's in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. We'll keep our hearts and mind, but be anxious. Don't be so pushed and pressed. See, I think a lot of us fight the good fight, but we're fighting against our own own selves. And let me explain that. Not fighting against our own nature, because we know that the Bible says that all have sinned. We know that the Bible also says in 1 John that let a man not say that he has not sinned or that he doesn't have sin, because we know sin dwells in our members. And the Bible says if we say we don't confess or we don't need or have to confess, we have no need of sin because we have not sinned, then we make him a liar and his word is not in us. But his word reminds us that it's none good, it's none righteous, it's none that doeth good, it's none that seeketh good. Only God, we know that only the Father is good. So as we fight against, and I think we're fighting and beating ourselves into a place of, I don't want to say regret, but a place of inability. We're disabling ourselves to move in grace because we're harder on ourselves. And let me not get that wrong, because I know the Bible says, Paul reminds us that he kept his body under. He beat his own self. He put himself in subjection. He beat his own flesh into subjection, that after he's preached, after he's done the will of God, that he himself doesn't become a castaway. So we know that there's a discipline in the life of the Christian that must exist, that we may see the work of God, that we may see the hand of God, that we may see the wisdom of God, that we may see the purposes of God fulfilled in our life. Listen, the purposes of God, the wisdom of God, the will of God will be fulfilled, and we can still, isn't this crazy? We can still miss God. You got to hear this. Paul said, listen, I keep my body in subjection because it doesn't say just because it might stop me from doing the will of God. It didn't say it moves me out of the church. He said that after I've done that, after I've done what God told me to do, my body, our bodies continue to fight. Our bodies continue to desire. Our bodies continue. Listen, while we're in this flesh, listen, in our flesh dwells no good thing. So while we're in the flesh, we're always going to have a fight. We're always going to have a fight. But let not the fight be against yourself. I'm going to say this. Let not the fight. I'm learning. As I move into prayer, as I move into scripture, God is changing our desire. So the desire to do wrong is not there. The will to do wrong is not there. But the flesh, I see where it says in Romans 7, I see it's something different over here. Because I want to do right, but all of a sudden here goes these things up in my life. And have you ever seemed like you did something you knew was out of the will of God, was out of the purpose of God, and you looked at yourself like, why am I still moving in this? Like you were like you were on automatic. And that's the problem with sin, because sin puts us on automatic. It's like autopilot. Your body will just do it if you don't keep watch. So I'm learning to be content, but not to be complacent. I'm content at the level God has me, but I still press. I'm content at the level where God is moving me, but I keep pushing. I'm content of how God's using me, but I desire more. If you desire more, then there's a press that should exist in your spirit, because the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle is spiritual, and we have to adorn ourselves with spiritual garb, with spiritual tools, with spiritual weapons, with spiritual attributes. And we these things are attained by faith, because the gifts of God are appropriated by faith. They are attained by faith as we press in. And that's my first challenge, even before we get to the topic. to press in. You know, I've been challenging you with this, I believe, almost all of 2019, to press in. God, my mind don't act right. Press in. God, my tongue don't act right. Press in. God, my eyes don't see right. Press in. God, some of you might be listening across the internet, across the phone lines internationally, and you're wondering, what does press in mean? Press in is that spiritual attribute of prayer where you get honest with God on what you truly desire. God, listen, I desire to do this. God, I desire to do that. But your word says that I shouldn't. But I believe in my spirit that the Holy Spirit is guiding me and calling me to holiness, calling me higher. But God, I want to do this. This is how a conversation starts with God. This is how my conversation started with God. God, I want to see you in spite of me. God, I want to see you. I know I've been in church all my life. God, I've heard scripture. I know some things. I know how to put things together. But God, I want to see you. Like, we get tired of church. We get tired of seeing people shout. We get tired of all these things that we call religion, that we call church, that we call Christendom, and yet don't see the deliverance. I know a lot of people have left church because they were looking for power. Mm-hmm. They were looking for deliverance, and they didn't find it. Let me tell you something. The reason why we didn't find it is because we didn't empty ourselves. I know you're saying you went to church, you went to the altar, but how much did you empty of yourself? I find that I still have to put myself on the altar and empty myself. Reverend Aaron still has to go before God and ask God to cleanse my mind, cleanse my heart, cleanse my eyes, cleanse and purge me with hyssop, wash me, make me clean, because flesh and the desire of flesh is insatiable. I know our pastor had talked about that a little bit on Sunday, on how all of our lives we're going to be pressing in to the things of God, because flesh will always be flesh. Listen, flesh will always be flesh. So don't disillusion yourself because you prayed all night and got up and still lusted. Those things aren't in your heart. Those things are in your flesh. I got that from Pastor McQueen. They're not in your heart. They're in your flesh. And God has clothed us with righteousness. I'm jumping around. God has clothed us in his righteousness because of what Christ and by what Christ has done. Listen, righteousness is for every child of God. The righteousness of God is basically the Holy Ghost and his perfect nature. The term righteousness is applied to Christ not only because he's God, but also in the view of the righteousness that he gained for mankind. It's his righteousness. We are clothed in, not our own righteousness, because our righteousness is as filthy rags. And because it's his righteousness, we have to be fitted. yes, God, we have to be fitted, because it's not some cookie cut. It's not some religiosity. It's not some make-up righteousness that we say this is what righteousness looks like, because the gospel tells us that except our righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, we shall in no wise see the kingdom of heaven. And let me tell you, brother, let me tell you, sister, we were the scribes and Pharisees. We were the ones that said, crucify him. I know you want to say you were the one at his feet when he was on the cross crying and weeping, but we were the ones that yelled, crucify him. We were the ones that yelled, Hosanna, and then turned and said, crucify him. We were the ones We were the ones without Christ in your heart. Look at who we were without Christ in our hearts. You don't have to think that far back. Without Christ in our hearts, how much righteousness did you think of? Without Christ in your heart, how much holiness did you think of? Without Christ in your heart, how much church did you think of? Without Christ in your heart, how much loving your neighbor did you think of? But because of his righteousness, he looks on every believer, my goodness, as if he does not see our sin, because we've been clothed in righteousness. He sees the righteousness of Christ. He sees the blood of Christ. He sees the atonement of Christ. He sees the sacrifice of Christ on the lives of you and I. Therefore, we are declared holy, my God. You and I are declared holy because of him. You and I are declared holy because we are wearing him. You and I are declared holy because we've adorned ourselves. We've been clothed in Jesus Christ, my God. Hallelujah. We remember in the garden, the first thing when Adam and Eve sinned, they said their eyes were opened and they recognized that they were no longer clothed. Sheba. They were no longer covered. They were no longer under the covenant of God. They were no longer protected. Their righteousness had lifted, and they recognized that they were naked, and they covered themselves with leaves. They covered themselves as to clothe themselves with something that covered their shame. That's what religion tries to continue to do to mankind. Cover its shame. Cover its nakedness. Cover its debauchery. Cover its filthiness. When God says, I have righteousness that's better. I have righteousness for you. I have the covering for you. Because as you read, we understand that even in Genesis, that God made the sacrifice. Even after Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, even after the transgression, God still, see, we talk about salvation and Jesus, but God had made atonement for man even in the garden where he sacrificed and killed the animal and clothed man and his wife in their skin. My God, our covering was from the beginning. Our clothing was from the beginning. Our righteousness was from the beginning when God clothed, when God covered. And listen, he's still covering. Hebrews says that God in sundry times and in different manners, in various ways, spoke to us through the prophets, but have now in these last days spoken to us through his Son, my God. Hallelujah. And Jesus, it's his Son, my God, hallelujah. We thank God that we've been clothed in his Son. We've been clothed in his righteousness. Our last book, as we talked about, God is still, he's still moving. He's still working. He's still merciful. He's still on the throne. He's still working it out for your good. He's still covering us. With Jesus. He's still covering us with his garment. He's still covering us with himself. Hebrews said that when he could not swear by any greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. My God, hallelujah. We're clothed with the righteousness of God. We remember the story of the prodigal son. When the son had spent all that the father had given him, when he had went and wasted his living, he came back to the father. He came back home. And he had a mindset that I will go to my father. I'm going to repent. I'm going to say, Father, I'm not worthy. Listen, true repentance doesn't put you on a pedestal. True repentance doesn't put you on top. True repentance, not like the thief on the cross, if you be the Son of God, don't only save yourself, but save us too. Does not think of yourself so highly. True repentance humbles you. And as we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, he will exalt us in due time. Luke said, but the father said to his servants, listen quickly, bring the best robe. My God, hallelujah. Bring the best robe and put it on him. I want to tell you, child of God, man and woman of God, that God has his best in mind for you. Hallelujah. The Bible says that we have been given all things that pertain to life and godliness. It says, put that robe, put the best robe on him, and put a ring on his finger, and shoes on his feet, and bring that thing that we've been preparing. My God, God's preparing a celebration for you. God's preparing a coronation for you. God's preparing a fatted calf for you. Let's have a feast, the Father says. And let's celebrate for this son that was dead. Ah, yes, sir. This daughter that was dead. This child of mine that was dead is alive again and was lost and is found. My God, God does not want to forsake you. God does not want to kick you to the curb. God does not want and will not cast you aside. But if you come to him, the Bible says, he that comes to me, I will in no wise turn him away. I will in no wise, the King James said, cast out. But you have to come. We have been in what we call a democracy. And the delusion of the democracy is that it's characterized by holding these idiosyncratic beliefs or impressions. And one of the idiosyncratic, when you look at Christendom, when you look at the theocracy of God, and that's the idiosyncratic part of the democracy, is that it puts the child of God into a mindset that we have choices. And yeah, God, yeah, we have a free will. We can choose, but we're not in a democracy. We're in a theocracy. We're in a kingdom. And our kingdom is ruled by our king. Ah, yes, God. The beliefs of democracy and the depression or impressions that they're contradicted by reality and a rational argument. What is the rational argument of the Bible? Come now, Isaiah says. And I believe it's Isaiah, the first chapter. Come now, let us reason together. He said, listen, let us both lay our cards out on the table. Let's weigh these things. Let's weigh these options that we have. Let's weigh the situation out. Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord, so your sin be as scarlet. They shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And it goes on to say, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Come, come now. Bible says, the day you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Come now. This is the call of DTW Ministries. I'm beginning to understand my charge here on Purpose Kingdom Network is to call you to come now. It's to call you to a higher place of Christian living, a higher place of Christian excellence, a higher place of Christian victory. Ah. Christian and victory should not be an oxymoron. Christian and holy should not be an oxymoron. Christian and overcomer should not be an oxymoron. But it should be, hallelujah, the norm will rename the name of Christ. Come now, my God, let us reason together. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank God. We thank God because the robe of righteousness is not altered to fit the child of God. The robe of righteousness is not altered to fit the man. The robe of righteousness is not altered to fit the woman. The robe of righteousness is not altered. The man, the woman, the child of God must be altered to fit the robe, Baba. Hallelujah. Because when we put on Christ, yes, God, we have to die to ourselves. The Bible tells us to mortify, put him to death. Hallelujah. We have to do the things that we have to do and stop making excuses for our shortcomings. Get up, hallelujah, say a prayer, ask God to forgive you. And listen, we don't just want to keep saying, forgive me, but we want to repent. We want to have repentance. God, this thing I enjoy, this thing I like, this thing when it comes up, my mind goes crazy, my emotions go crazy, my senses go crazy. God, help me to curb my appetite. God, help me, show me how to resist myself. That emotion. Ah, yes, God. In Zechariah, he spoke and said to those who were standing before him, saying, remove the filthy garments from him. The thing I like about this verse in Zechariah is that the garments were being removed for us. All right, take them off. He charged those that were standing, which are the angels, to remove that which was filthy from them, that which was unclean. Remove those clothes. Remove those things that are detestable. Remove those things that are unclean. Remove those things that are not like me. Ah, my God. See, I have taken, then he tells us and encourages us, see, I have taken away your sin. I have taken away, and King James says, your iniquity away from you and have given you, I read three different versions. The three different, one says, I have put rich garments, expensive garments on you. The other one says, and I have given you new garments. The other one says, and I have given you festive garments or a change of clothes. And all we have to do is to make sure every day we're clothed. Clothe, God, clothe the mind of the child of God that's listening to this broadcast right now. Clothe their minds. Clothe our minds, God. Elevate our minds in the name of Jesus, God. For you said you beseech us by your mercy, that we would present our body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto us, God, which is our reasonable service. And you told us to not be conformed. Hallelujah. We don't care how much democracy called America, how many the majority say, we will follow after you. Hallelujah. Be not conformed to this world, but we'll be transformed for by the renewing of our mind. We know that, and the practice, when we go to the tailor, he tells you, you know, we go in and he puts on the garment, and the garment always, yeah, I know you can, we can buy some clothes off the rack that fit pretty well, but when you go to a tailor, when you go to a tailor shop that make it from scratch, they're, I would say rough copy is always too big. It's always a little bit loose under the arms. It's always a little bit dangly in the inseam. The waist is always a little bit too big because they cut it to fit. God. Hallelujah. They cut it to fit. But the robe of righteousness is not altered to fit the man. The robe of righteousness is not altered to fit the woman. The man and the woman must be altered to fit the robe. That's why we go through what we go through. We're troubled on every side, but yet not in despair. Hallelujah. Cast down, but not destroyed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Why? Why am I going through what I'm going through? That the life, yes, God, that the life of Jesus might be made manifest. Where? In our mortal bodies. While we're living on earth, that the life of Christ might be made manifest. You mean I'm going through all this cutting? I'm going through all this alteration just that the life of Christ, my God, hallelujah, I cast down but not destroy. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Christ might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. Are you afraid to die to yourself? I know some people are afraid because they don't trust that the person that God will make them or cause them to be is someone that they like. You're saying, what? I ain't never heard it yet. It's a lot of people are afraid of what God will make them do. So they don't give in 100%. They don't give wholeheartedly. They don't do all those things that they know they're supposed to do. But I'm going to tell you, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Listen, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And here's what I was trying to say. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. My God, we're being altered to fit the role. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest, where? In our mortal flesh. We are moving from rank to rank. We're moving from strength to strength. We're moving from glory to glory. I believe it's 2 Corinthians 3:18 said, but we all, with open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. As we behold Christ in Scripture, as we behold His glory in prayer, as we behold the glory of God, as we meditate on the Word, we are being changed into the same image. But what the devil wants to do, child of God, is to keep you inconsistent. He wants you to lose ground. He wants you to lose face. He wants you to lose place and confidence in God, because that's what sin does. Remember our scripture about the garden. They recognized that they were no longer clothed. They recognized that they were naked. They recognized that they were sinful. They recognized that they had moved out of their place with God, and they covered themselves. Here's my second challenge. In your prayer closet, when you're talking to the Lord, uncover yourself. Stop saying those nice prayers that you heard somebody say. Stop saying those things that you think God want to hear. And begin to be honest with Him. God, I want to be saved, but I don't know you. God, I want to be saved. Everybody talking about loving you. God, I don't know you. How do I love you? Teach me to love you. teach me how to be. I have not seen so many people get saved and already know everything they're supposed to do. There has to be a growth process. I was driving home today and I thought about the illustration of the butterfly. You know, and the butterfly, when it's a caterpillar, climbs up into a place and it forms the cocoon. And, you know, in the cocoon, it begins to metamorphose. It begins to go through a metamorphosis and a change where it grows these wings. And everyone knows the story, or everyone's saw some. I hope everyone's heard this story. If not, I'm going to say it anyway, that you can hear it again, or maybe for the first time you heard it. And it was a young man. He was curious, and he really cared about the butterfly. He seen that it was trying to get through, but it was only a little tiny slit. It was only a crack that he was trying to get through. And he seen how much it was struggling. He seen how much it was in agony. He seen how difficult it was. And he saw how small the slit was for him to come through. So he said, I don't know what I'll do. I'll take out my pocket knife and cut the slit just a little bit bigger to help the butterfly. So as he cut, the butterfly emerged out of the cocoon. But when it went to spread its wings, it didn't have the necessary strength. When it went to set itself up, it didn't have the necessary development. It didn't have the necessary strength of muscle that was developed through the struggle. Goodness, this is some good stuff. That was developed through the smallness, yes, God, of the slit. Some of us are crying, complaining, trying to get out of a tight spot God is in. And God has us in there by, listen, design. Yes, God. The Bible says that mercy, that grace has been given to us according to the measure of the gift. How do I measure my gift? I look at the enablement God gives me to go through. The enablement that God gives us to go through is a measure of what he wants out of us. It's a measure to the gift. It's a measure to the talent. It's a measure to the amount of Christ that he wants to purpose in your life. But we're trying to cut the slit open and wondering why we're developing weak Christians. Why we're developing undeveloped children of God. Why we're developing Christians that have no spiritual muscle. Because somewhere someone told them that when you come to God, all of your problems was over. So they think in their minds, we think in our minds by design that Christ takes away the problems. And that's true. Because he bears our burdens. He carried our sorrows on the cross. He was bruised for our iniquities, my God. He was wounded for our transgressions. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. Listen, and with his stripes, we are healed. But we're cutting the slit. People have good intentions. That young man had good intentions. He cared about the butterfly. He loved the butterfly. He didn't want to see him struggle. But in releasing him before it's time, some muscles didn't develop right. And because of it, the caterpillar who turned a butterfly could not support himself. His wings wasn't strong enough, so he could not fly. And when he went to spread his wings, because they weren't strong enough, he fell from the tree to the ground and was eaten by the ants. want to talk to you, child of God. You're looking at the attacks of the enemy. I want to tell you, if that's where you are, you can still be saved. You can still be clothed. You can still be delivered. You said, I was there. I had it. I knew I did it right. I repented. I turned. And all of this stuff is happening to me because of the grace that you've been given. God wants to press out of you a great ministry. But will you stand the press? Will you stand, hallelujah, the pressure? Will you stand the temptation? Will you stand the trial? Will you stand the trouble? Listen, God will pull you through. But you got to be able to withstand the pull. The old illustration we used to say in our church, when you get to the end of your rope, tie a knot in it. Tie it around your wrist and hold on. Keep coming to church. If you don't have a church to go to, I invite you to the Deliverance Evangelistic Church, 2001 West Lehigh Avenue. That's in Philadelphia, PA, under the leadership and tutelage of our pastor, the Reverend Glenn Spaulding. We have prayer tomorrow night at 7 p.m. We have prayer all week long, but we have set prayer tomorrow night at 7, congregational prayer. And our service for our Christmas concert is this Sunday, 15th of December at 5 p.m. Our midday and morning service starts with Sunday school at 9:15. Our morning worship service starts at 10:30. If you don't have a church home, I invite you there. Maybe you say, I'm not able to get to the church, but I do want to be clothed in this righteousness that you talked about. I heard what you said. I've been going to church for a while, but I believe I need to come again to be clothed. If that's you, I want you to pray with me. I'm going to say a simple prayer. And I want you to repeat after me, to say it and mean it. And God is going to do exactly what you ask for him to do. After the prayer, our minister and online engineer, Reverend Rob, is going to come on and give you some information after we pray. And some information how to contact and correspond with Purpose Kingdom and some other announcements. And then we're going to come back with the closing remarks and the benediction. But now, repeat after me. Say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. And cleanse me and cover me with the righteousness that's in Christ Jesus. Lord Jesus Christ, thank you for saving me and dying for me and interceding for me. Holy Spirit, come into my heart as Lord and Master of my life. Thank you, God, for saving my soul. Amen. Let me pray, God and our Father, we thank you. Thank you for each and every one that repeated that prayer. Thank you for your grace, that you've enabled us to be able ministers, and you're raising sons and daughters unto yourself through your grace, through your love. God, thank you for covering them with the robe of righteousness. Thank you for dressing them in holiness. Thank you, God, for your grace, Hallelujah. And your mercy over their lives. I pray an added blessing. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. I rebuke the enemy off of every life, off of the child of God that's in the listening and here under the sound of my voice, God, that your word that's going forth, that it would bring forth fruit to your glory, that it would bud and germinate in their heart, God, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, God. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, hallelujah, for quickening yourself in them. In Jesus' name. Amen. As a reminder, this is the 1058th episode of Purpose Kingdom. This is Reverend Aaron Williams, DTW Ministry. And at this time, we're going to turn this portion over to Reverend Brown. And he's going to have some announcements for you and give you some information corresponding.
All right. Real quickly, I know I told someone at the beginning of this episode that tonight is going to be really good. And boy, as promised, it is really good tonight. We thank Reverend Williams so much for tonight's inspiration and inspirational words of the call of salvation. And, you know, it's, you know, if you can't find a Bible-believing teaching, preaching sanctuary, don't forget about us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. We're here. We broadcast here almost every night that we're able to broadcast. And we thank you, each and every one of you listening, whether you're calling via phone or online, or listening online, we thank you so much for your support and your listenership. And as always, this is the Project Purpose Kingdom Network, and the announcements, real quickly as follows, is that anytime you want to hear or you want to see or correspond with us, here at Purpose Kingdom Network, you can correspond with us via email at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can send your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We gladly honor that. Also, we're on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. We also invite you to like us on Facebook, where you can see our upcoming advertisements and you can see our shows. Please feel free to do so, and we appreciate those that choose to do so. And also, we invite you to, with our morning walk of prayer, with our morning word of inspiration, which is going to be on anchor.com, or you can go to Anchor FM. We can listen to our morning word of inspiration. And you can go follow any of our social media pages and follow the links through Anchor FM or anchor.com, where you can get a morning word of inspiration. We thank you for doing so. Also, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening for the 9 p.m. hour for Daughters of Ruth, hosted by Reverend Maureen Lee. And once again, with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for Daughters of Ruth. As always, like I said, we thank you. And anytime you want to listen to any of our past or previous broadcasts, we can listen to it at, in its entirety and at your convenience. You can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. So if you simply type in the host name or the show name, and you can, like I said, listen to that show at your convenience and at any time you would like to. With that being said, that's going to be the end of our announcements. We're going to turn the show back over to Reverend Williams. And Reverend Williams, great show.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much. We appreciate what people do. You have to know, I was telling my brother at work today, teamwork makes the dream work. They was laughing at me because, you know, no one seems to want to work anymore. I had a job, and the job is a blessing. I mean, God has really blessed me with something that is, I would say, over and abundant of what I asked for. But when you get around, see, I worked at a company for 25 years that was a Christian company. You know, morals and ethics were written into not only the bylaws of the company, but into the workstation documentation. You know, there was no profanity was not allowed at the job. It was against policy. You could get written up for cussing. You could get written up for swearing. You can get written up for having a bad attitude. And coming to a city job, a government job, was culture shock for me. And it seemed that no one, it seemed that people worked so hard here to not work. it was when I first started, it was culture shock that people worked as hard as they did to not work. If they spent a portion of that energy to get the job done, things would be so much better. But human nature is what it is. You know, so we thank God for you that repeated the sinner's prayer and have accepted Christ into your life. I want to put out our last challenge of the evening, and that is to tune into that www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom and look up Reverend Aaron Williams or DTW Ministries. And, you know, I know we do a lot of binge watching, and, you know, we go through. I remember when Breaking Bad, people telling me about it, and I'm not going to watch that craziness. And I end up watching it one day. I was off for a week, and the whole week I was off, that's the only thing I watched on TV. From the time I started watching to the TV to the time I stopped watching TV at the end of the day, the only thing that was on was Breaking Bad. I think I watched all 6 seasons in that time while I was on vacation. I think it's 6 or 7. See, whatever it was, I watched the whole thing. I never again did any binge watching like that. But what I'm saying is that if you're going to binge watch something, binge watch some of our archives. Binge watch DTW Ministry. Start with January. You know, we're only on actually 104 times a year, 52 weeks in a year. We're on twice a month. So we're not even on really. We're only on actually 24. Yeah, we're only on 24 weeks. So I can't even count. We're only on like 24. I think it's 31 times altogether. I know that's a big jump from 104, but we're only on twice a month, 12 months in a year, so that's 24. You know, some months have 5 weeks, so some months we have 3. So we're about, I think about 27 to 30 altogether. It might not even be that high, but you see, if it's not that high, that means you can watch them all in one setting and listen to the archives. We go back a few years, Purpose Kingdom, like I said, this is the 1058th episode. So we go back a few years, you know, and this is, I believe, our 3rd year on Purpose Kingdom. Yeah, but we do want to invite you. You know, I want to definitely invite you to our Christmas concert. You know, we're having a musical production at the Deliverance Evangelistic Church, 2001 West Lehigh Avenue. Oh, come, let us adore him. And it starts at 5 p.m. on this coming Sunday, Sunday the 15th. And we only have a few minutes, but I see that we have a caller. So, caller, you're on the air. God bless you. This is DTW Ministries. Caller, you're on the air.
I said, God bless you, son. Every time, you never disappoint. Every time I get on the air or I get a chance to hear you, I'm always getting something from what you say. I just want to let you know that I love you and always be encouraged. I'm your number one fan. You know that, right?
I see. Amen. Praise the Lord, y'all. My mama, y'all.
Yeah, son, you keep on doing what you're doing, man, because every time I listen to you, I learn something more. But I like what you said, too, when your church said, I know Dad used to tell me all the time, when you can't go no farther, tie a rope, not in the rope, and tie it around you and hold on. Hard as you can and for as long as you can, hold on, don't let go. So that's what I'm doing. I'm holding on. I ain't letting go. I ain't doing
Amen.
That. I ain't letting go. So
Amen.
I'm still here, and I'm going to be here. I ain't going nowhere. And I thank God for you, and I just thank God for Blog Talk Radio every other week. I didn't see you put it up on Facebook today, but I said, oh, Aaron on tonight. Let me turn this on right now. So here I am,
yeah,
and encouraging you as always.
Yeah,
and loving you no matter what.
I love you too, Ma. I put it on, but I didn't. I was telling the brother at the beginning of the broadcast before we came on the air that I know a few people that, because people ask me a lot, because not that I know anything, but I'll be where I'm supposed to be. So when I have engagement, I'll tell you I'm not going to be there, or I can't do it. I won't tell you I'm going to be there and then do something different, unless it's an emergency. But we have a couple people that they're involved. Hey, they're busy. But when they get done, they're in the same building, and they choose their priorities. So that's good. I understood the rationale, but then they wanted to ask me for the information about the information or the meeting that they missed, and I refused to give it to them. That's how people by the hair. And I refused to give it to them because in my mind, they chose their priority, and their priority was to be somewhere else. So because I know that the meeting that we had minutes, I told them, read your minutes. Check your email. And they kind of got on me, you know, about that. And I understood why, but I really still feel the same way. You got to pray for me. You know, and I'm going to get off of that and remind you again about our Christmas concert this coming Sunday. Oh, Come Let Us Adore Him. And we're featuring a special guest, gospel recording artist Kathy Taylor and Minister Rodney Harris as one of our special guests. And as always, our illustrious Minister of Music, Minister Alex Ingram, and the Voices of Deliverance and Deliverance Mass Choir. We're going to have a time. I'm telling you, I know we're going to have a time. I can already feel it in my spirit that we're going to have a great time in the Lord, just rejoicing in the Lord. Don't you love the presence of God? My goodness, it's getting better and better. And tune in. I know that we're DTW Ministries will be on the 24th. I don't know if we're going to have a thing on the 24th. We're not going to be there, because that's the week of our revival. But I'll be on our Friday date, December the 27th. So on the week of December 23rd, from the 23rd, it might even start that Tuesday. But I know that we're going to start our services. Okay, the actual revival starts on Christmas evening, which is the 25th, and it's going to run from the 25th to the 31st. You know, and Reverend Aaron, I'll be on Friday after Christmas, the 27th. We're on the broadcast and for our annual year in revival. And I think this year, let me see what I know I had it up here. I think is watching for Jesus, taken out of Matthew 25th chapter, verse 13. Watching, therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour when the Son of Man comes. So we're going to be talking about the coming of Christ and being ready for his return. So again, I love you. Continue to pray for brothers. Continue to pray for me. Continue to pray for each other. And continue. This is the last challenge. Continue to pray. Talk to God every chance you get. And I mean, you don't have to get on your knees. Sometimes you might be driving. Sometimes you might be sitting at your desk. You might be at work at your station, at your machine, wherever you are. When it comes on your mind and you feel words coming up to express to God, say them. Say. Sometimes you ain't got to open up your mouth. Just talk to God in your spirit. Every time it comes up, do it. Don't ignore it. And challenge yourself to turn off the TV. If you watch the TV 6, 7, 8 hours a day, I challenge you to get rid of one of them hours and give it to God. Give it to the Word. Give it to Scripture. Give it to meditation. Give it to studying. That's my challenge for you for today, December the 10th. Until the next time, God bless you. God keep you is my prayer. Be encouraged in Jesus' name. And don't forget, wear your robe. God bless you.
Jesus bled.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free. I will not lose.
You ever want to see me down, I will not lose.
Save me.
Yeah.